big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have a first-time guest. His name is Dan Isfinick. And Dan is a middle school minister. Actually, he ministers to grades 5th through 9th. And again, I say middle school minister. That's longer than my middle school years. You know, when I grew up, it was 7th through 8th grade. And then now as a minister, we're ministering to kids 6th to 8th. So he's a little bit longer, 5th through 9th grade. And he has a wonderful blog where he shares different thoughts and different resources. And he is a great resource as we're going to be talking about scope and sequence. Now, when you think about scope and sequence, you're thinking, what? Do you even know what scope and sequence is? Well, if you've been around ministry for a while, you do know a little bit what scope and sequence, and it talks about curriculum. It talks about what you present and you share to students in a strategic format. And so Dan is going to come on and talk about what is scope and sequence and how can you properly scope and sequence your year? How can you properly plan and strategize your year? What does he do and what are some tips and tricks that he would share with you? So I'm really excited about Dan on the podcast and I'm excited about what he has to share. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now with Dan, talk about scope and sequence. All right, with me right now is Dan Isfinick. Dan, how are you?
Excellent, great. How are you today?
I'm doing good as well. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, just to give the listeners a little background about who you are, I know who you are, but if some of the listeners may not know. So give me a quick little description of what you do and how you got started in ministry.
Sure. I've been doing youth ministry 24 years. Last 13, 14 has been specific to 6th to 8th grade, 5th to 8th grade, something I call the middle years. Yep. I currently serve as a 5th to 8th grade pastor in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at Victory Church. We're a multi-site church here in the area. Started off at 19 years old when I was in college, helping a really small country church. And then God has continued to work and use me kind of throughout the country. I've been in Ohio, Louisiana, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Right outside of D.C. and now in Amish country, Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Now, how many horse and carriage buggies do you have to pass on an average day?
Average day? Oh, man, I lose track. I really honestly do on the way to work, way home. Sunday afternoon is even worse depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
So we will definitely, there's definitely traffic jams, but it's all about horse and buggies around here.
That's all. That is awesome. Yeah. I actually, again, my family's from Pennsylvania, and one time we were visiting my family, and we were going to go to Ocean City, and so we figured the best way to do that was to go through Amish country from where we were at, and it was an enlightening experience for my daughters. I'll say that.
Yeah. We went from DC, where you sit in traffic for a half hour, to go two miles to sitting in traffic behind an Amish buggy. So.
Yeah, that is very, very interesting. Well, I am so glad you're joining me today because we're going to talk about scope and sequence.
Yeah.
And so we haven't, I mean, I've done podcasting for a while and I don't think I've ever done this topic. So this is exciting for me to talk
about. Yeah.
For anybody who may not know what scope and sequence is, why don't you give a quick little description?
Well, sure. I mean, it kind of comes out of my master's. Instead of going to seminary, I actually went and got a master's in middle education, which is 5th to 9th grade certification as kind of teaching education. And yeah, actually, it's awesome. Really improved what I do as a teacher, not a preacher, but creating better lessons, better content. So scope and sequence is very similar to an education model where you have benchmark standards. Any state you're in, you'll have a big book to tell you what things need to be taught at different ages. Mm-hmm. And they have a scope and sequence. And every year they create a kind of an order of things, what they're going to teach, how they're going to teach that building blocks of education. And quite a few years ago, even before I got my master's, I started working on just a plan, just a simple plan to say what fits with what years do I want to teach what things, and what do I want my students to know before they move on to the next grade, the next ministry, move on out of my ministry altogether. Yeah. So scope and sequence is literally scope. I mean, what I'm going to teach, and then sequence is how I'm going to teach it in what order.
Yeah. Now, and that's vital, because I think a lot of times, especially with youth ministry, especially if you're starting in on things, you're just teaching randomly. You're not, yep. There's no real strategy to it, but with scope and sequence, there's a real thought and strategy behind that. So when you're planning out your year and when you're looking at the year, when do you start planning for your year? And then, you know, how does that look like? And you know, what kind of factors do you consider when you're putting things together?
Well, believe it or not, I have a 4-year scope and sequence.
Nice.
So I don't plan from year to year. I plan for 4 years, fifth to eighth grade. Or Imperial Church was 6th to 8th grade. So I know, my leaders know, my parents know, my staff knows. Anybody that comes into my ministry knows what things we're going to cover if they can come and they can be faithful. And, you know, parents can know, like, okay, my student is going to get this in the 4 years of faithfully attending this ministry. Mm-hmm. And my student and my child, as they walk out of this ministry, hopefully will know these things. Mm-hmm. And it makes life so much easier, believe it or not. Some people freak out about it. And, you know, leave room for the Holy Spirit. There's times that we take a break from what we're teaching to address, you know, something that's going on in our world or, you know, an issue that comes up. But what we try to do is really make sure that there is an order to what we're doing. I tell my parents, it's like a roadmap. You would never let me leave with your child on a week-long trip and not tell you where I'm going.
Right.
And so many, I mean, nothing, no criticism, but so many youth pastors leave every single week on a journey with their students and have no clue where they're going the next week.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is really say, hey, here's the roadmap. Here's the stops along the way. Here's the pit stops. Here's the things that your students will engage in. And I'm going to bring them back safely and hand them off to the next guy or next girl in my ministry, our church, or the next place you go. And that was kind of really essential in when we were in DC, where we had so many students that were only there for 2 or 3 years because they would move on to the next spot where their dad was being going. And in that context, it really helped more than just the average church, because they knew as they walked away, okay, the 2 years I'm here, the 3 years I'm here, these are things my kids are learning.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's got to be probably pretty encouraging for your leaders as well, because then they know, hey, where we're going. And actually, if you're going to have them lead a lesson or two or whatnot, they know they'll have plenty of time to prepare for that, correct?
Yep. We can easily fit leaders in, special speakers in, you know, younger leaders who are interns or, you know, study youth ministry, saying, hey, I'm going to go this way. Here's the slot you can fit in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And it really keeps away from the Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning special where you just kind of get up and go, oh, well, what am I going to teach tomorrow night? Or what am I going to teach this evening? But it also gives me accountability. My staff, my pastors around me know, my parents know, my kids know, my leaders know, like, hey, wait, you said you're going to teach this year. You didn't cover that. Or, you know, and we don't get so specific. I mean, year to year, we get more specific about, you know, week to week, what we're teaching, what topics we're teaching. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's a big, broad map. And we pray over it every year and we tweak it and we change some things and make sure it's fresh.
That's cool.
But it's helped me so much and really has encouraged my parents, my leaders to want to be involved.
Yeah, that's great. So what kind of input do you get from that? When you're forming your scope and sequence, are you asking from leaders, parents, staffers? Like who gives you input?
Different churches. I've done different things.
Okay.
But I really try to kind of find out the church, the demographic, even just educationally, where our students are at maturity wise. And so it's not like I pick up a scope and sequence from one church and walk over and use it again in the next one. Mm-hmm. I really try to get to know the church's heart, get to know the children's ministry, you know, what things they are covering, what things they aren't covering, what things I need to kind of step up to the next level on, you know? So we really try to fit it well.
Yeah.
And also at a previous church, we were working on actually having a scope and sequence from, preschool all the way through high school and putting that all together so that we would all work on one scope and sequence with, you know, some cycles where we'd be covering certain things over and over again.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think repetition is key in that. Kids learn by hearing things over and over again. I mean, you don't want to hear it every single week over and over again, but if you space it out and you share similar stuff, it really reinforces things.
Well, educationally, we differentiate. I mean, we teach the same thing in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
we're not repeating things, but there's definitely certain core things that I'm going to teach in 4 years that'll be in different, it'll be presented in different ways. So like we just finished a series on wise choices. And what I did during that series is talk about Bible study. So they, last year they, we had actually a whole series about why we have the Bible, who, you know, what's in the Bible, how do we study the Bible for ourselves. And then this year we didn't teach the same lesson, but we weaved some of those core truths back into a lesson about making wise choices and looking to God's word to help you make wise choices.
That's cool.
So, you know, Bible study, sharing your faith, understanding who God is are always those things that are weaved in throughout, other topics, other things. So they're always learning it without them really knowing like, oh, we're going to stop and do, you know, a whole lesson about the Bible again, you know, next year.
Yeah. Now that is awesome. I love this. I love all the stuff that you're talking about because, and I'll be honest, I go back and forth on this. Right now, we're actually doing a curriculum, a preset curriculum that we bought from a third party person.
Right.
As I felt like I needed a little break from creating something, mm-hmm. I needed something already kind of created for me and I can kind of tweak it. How do you deal with that? Like, is there any outside curriculum that you bring in while you're planning your scope and sequence, or is this all stuff that you are doing on your own?
Currently, I am writing all my own stuff, but that doesn't mean that, you know, your average listener is not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of those curriculum companies, a denominational or, you know, third person curriculum companies will have scope and sequences often.
Yeah.
But what I found in the scope and sequences that I've looked at even recently, they seem like they're a little all over. Where I try to be far more intentional, where it's building blocks, where I look at some curriculum companies and they'll jump from Old Testament, New Testament to topical, back to topical, then back to Old Testament, New Testament. Mm-hmm. So with, you know, my previous church, when we had two different times of learning, Sunday morning and midweek, the Sunday morning was intentionally spending, you know, 2 solid years studying the whole entire storyline of the Bible in order and making sure that that was something that fifth and sixth graders got. Where 7th and 8th graders would get a chronological, systematic teaching of theology in fun and creative ways. But we knew, you know, year 3, 7th grade or 8th grade would be all the basic theologies. And then the next year would be all the basics of Christianity, prayer, worship, big words, all those things. We did it in order. Mm-hmm. We didn't jump around. And then the midweek program was more topical life lessons where you can invite a friend, you know, more often. Midweek is when the, you know, kids are bringing their friends, but once again, we would do it in chronological, we would do it in systematic order. Mm-hmm. But once you have that scope and sequence, it's easy for you to write your own lessons or get prepared in advance or go and have time to look for curriculum you want to purchase that would fit in with that.
Yeah.
And there's great curriculum companies out there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. No. And I agree with you. I love creating my own content. But it's also nice because I've over the years through different organizations, I've collected pre-made curriculum that's already been set out for me that I've just kind of compiled. And I'm like, okay, if I want to talk about X, Y, and Z this semester, is there any old curriculum that I have? So I'll look through my old stuff, but I'll also look through some old curriculum and see what kind of input I can get from that. So I think you're right. I like what you're saying on that part.
Yep, the Gospel Project is I mean, there's so many different ways to beef up what you're writing without rewriting everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And so we definitely do those things. Yeah. But really when it comes down to what we're writing, you know, the heart of what we're writing, I'm writing, but then I'm supplementing it with a lot of different things I have. Yeah. I mean, you know, doing this for so many years, you have a ton of things sitting on your shelf or sitting in your external hard drive.
That's right.
That you're like, hey, I almost forgot about that.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. Okay, so for the person who is like says, wow, this sounds awesome. I need to create this, but I don't even know where to begin, how to get started. What kind of encouragement would you give them as they're looking at creating something for their own ministry?
Absolutely. I mean, sit down with your staff, especially your senior pastor. Sit down with whoever's the children's person, and then also the person next level. So if there's if you're doing junior high and high school, you're doing junior high, look at high school, what the high school pastor's doing. If you're doing junior high, high school together, look at the college and career ministry, look at maybe even the adult high school classes or adult education ministry, small group ministry, and say, hey, what kind of things are they going to cover once they're out of my ministry?
Right.
Talk to parents, say, hey, you know, what are kind of things would you love for me to cover to walk beside you as a parent? And so kind of to spur on some conversation in your home, talk to your leaders, your leadership team, and say, you know, your own volunteers, and say, hey, what kind of things are you hearing from in your small groups or in your discussion groups that we aren't covering, or what questions are they asking? Honestly, what I try to do is I really start with a blank whiteboard with four quadrants.
Nice.
And I just literally start putting together, I mean, everything I possibly could think of, list off all the things I'm hearing, list off all the things that I think would be great for students to hear, and then start organizing that in four quadrants and saying year one, year two, year three, year four for me. Maybe for some people it's 6 years.
Yeah.
But really saying, hey, what are the kind of things? But really asking, based on your group, you know, what kind of things a sixth grader need to hear before they go to seventh grade, or what kind of things does a sixth to eighth grader need to know before they get to high school? And then, you know, what kind of high school need to know before they get to college?
Yeah.
Because realistically, I mean, where I live and where I work, fifth to eighth grade, I'm realizing, and all the surveys are coming out, things like that, and I talk about it a bit, but about 85% of people that accept lifelong faith and belief do it before the middle of their ninth grade year. Yeah. So what I need to do is then you say, all right, what kind of things do I need to make sure, foundational truths in faith, do I need to establish in my students before they even head off to high school? Because high school, it's not a matter of whether or not they're going to get ready to go to college. It's I'm preparing them to go to high school, because middle of ninth grade year is when the drop off starts happening in faith formation.
Well, I agree with you completely. I used to work with Young Life, and I used to do their wildlife program when it first started. And that's their middle school program. And the reason why Young Life, which was predominantly high school focused for many, many decades, they went to start with middle school kids was because they were seeing the exact same trend that you just quoted the stat. But they started seeing the trend that middle school kids were starting to make decisions for Christ in impactful decisions at that younger age. So they needed to focus on that. And I think that middle school ministry, and especially you being able to be from fifth to ninth, that is awesome that you have that amount of time with those kids. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, this has been fantastic. And I know you've got lots of other things that you are
right.
talking about. And I want to talk to you about those things. I'm going to have you back on the podcast, which
that's is fine.
Basically
that's
what
fine.
I'm saying. But if people want to connect with you and like, this is awesome, I want to connect with Dan a little bit more, how would they connect with you? I know you got your blog. I know you got your own social media a lot. So share with these people how they can connect with you.
The best way to find me is middleyearsministry.com. It's my website that literally has kind of all the resources. I try to share 5 out of 7 days a week. I'll try to share something on there. There's lessons, there's games, there's ideas, we have guest writers. Based on this conversation, if you look under my teaching tab on the very, very bottom, of my teaching tab, you will see two examples of what a scope and sequence looks like and what I teach. So you can actually see and download the PDF of two different sample from my current church and my last two previous churches. Nice. So you can actually look at what a scope and sequence for a fifth to eighth grade, sixth to eighth grade ministry looks like. But yeah, you can find all my links and resources to places I write, work people I work with on the sidebar of that website as well. So middleyearsministry.com.
Nice. And are you more of a Facebook guy or Twitter guy?
I am a little of everything. I try to be present and kind of share as much as I can of resources, just to really resource everyone I possibly can with what we're doing, what needs to happen.
That's awesome. I love Twitter, so I'm a big Twitter guy. I like Facebook, you know, for my friends and family, but I love connecting with others, especially in the ministry world, via Twitter. So I'm all over that. So
I try to post in both places regularly so that people can find me and, you know, get help, get some freebies and some free resources.
Now, do you have a Facebook page for the middle years?
I do. Great. I do. There's a middle school page or middle years ministry page. And there's my own personal page you can follow me on. And then that page is actually linked to two other pages. One is for middle school ministry specific. And then one is linked to a local resource here that we created, a network of youth pastors here in Lancaster.
Dang, that's really cool. All right, Dan. Well, this has been fantastic, and I will definitely have you again on very soon. So thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Dan. It was great having him on, and he's got a ton of knowledge, and I love what he had to share about with scope and sequence and how that applies, and just his different takes on curriculum in general, both the prepackaged stuff and the stuff that you kind of create on your own. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think? What's your background with scope and sequence? What do you do for your ministry? I would love to hear your thoughts on that. So definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. Again, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. And as always, if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Or you can go to ymsidekick.com and check out all the content I have on there, the stuff that includes the blog, the podcast, the vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group for all ministers who want to learn digital tools and tips and tricks to learn how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. So Digital Bootcamp is the place to go. We've got links to all that stuff on the show notes, so definitely check out that stuff. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.